Welcome to the Better ROI from Software Development podcast, a podcast aimed at those that fund software development and those that work with them. In a series of short weekly podcasts, I, your host Mark Taylor, hope to educate and inform on why traditional management processes won't get you the best return on your investment. And along the way, I'll provide advice on how to improve that. Hello, and welcome back to the Better ROI from Software Development podcast. In this episode, I want to continue the conversation on open source. In the last two episodes, I've given you an introduction, and in the last episode, I gave you an idea of the motivation as to why individuals and organizations would even create open source and why it even exists. In this episode, I want to take a deeper look into licensing. Before I start this episode, I should really be clear, I am not a lawyer. This is not legal advice. I will talk you through what I believe to be how the licenses work and the top licenses out there for open source. However, you should definitely take your own review on any licenses that you adopt. So an open source license will cover things like permissions, conditions, and limitations. And the things that you need to think about considering is it licensed for commercial use? Does it allow modification? Does your project need to contribute or provide attribution on any modifications? Can it be redistributed? If so, under what conditions? And what are the liabilities and warranty associated with that license and that software? I will be clear though, while I talk about some of the common licenses in place, there's nothing to stop someone creating their own license. As such, whenever you're using a piece of open source software, you need to look and understand what that license is. Is it one of the more commonly known? In which case, you can understand that fairly simply. Or is it a bespoke license? If it's a bespoke one, then I'd certainly make sure that you spend the time reviewing it before allowing it to be used within your software or your systems. Let's start talking about what the top licenses in use. Let's look at the white source software open source licenses in 2021, Trends and Prediction article. I'll provide a link in the show notes. Before I talk about what the report shows, I probably should just mention that white source software produce an ability to provide governance over the use of source code within your software development practice. It provides a system for being able to produce governance over which licenses are acceptable, so that you've got an ability to police some of this. So if any of this feels like you need work or help, it's probably worth looking at that software. They're not the only ones out there, and I'm certainly not being paid to endorse them. But as I'm definitely taking stuff from their article, it only makes sense to provide what they do. As such, it means they're in a good position to produce data and produce an analysis on what is currently happening in the commercial market. So from their report, they attribute a top three of being the Apache 2.0 license, the MIT license, and the GPL version 2 and version 3 licenses. The Apache 2.0 and the MIT license are considered to be quite permissive licenses. They allow you to do quite a lot with the source code. They don't really require you to do much in terms of any additional obligations past maybe providing attribution. The chooselicense.com website provides this description of the Apache license 2.0. Begin quote. A permissive license whose main conditions require preservation of copyright and legal notices. Contributors provide an express grant of patent right. License works, modification and larger works may be distributed under different terms and without source code. End quote. Whereas, chooselicense describes the MIT license as, begin quote, a short and simple permissive license with conditions only requiring preservation of copyright and license notices. Licensed works, modifications, and larger works may be distributed under different terms and without source code. End quote. The Apache License 2.0 and the MIT license seem very similar, and in truth they are. The main difference is under the Apache License 2.0, the contributors who've provided software into that product are expressly providing a grant of patent rights. Generally speaking, if you've got software that you're using that's under an Apache license 2.0 or an MIT license, you can generally be fairly confident that's good software to use and you won't have a problem with it. Again, I will caveat that with, I am not a lawyer and you do need to take your own review on these things. The GPL version 2 and version 3, however, part of the GPL family, provides much more conditions and are seen as much less permissive. A description of the version 3 license from, for example, from the chooselicense.com website is, begin quote, "Permissions of this strong copyleft license are conditioned on making available complete source code of licensed works and modifications, which includes larger works using a licensed work under the same license. Copyright and license notices must be preserved. Contributors provide an express grant of patent right." End quote. The thing with the GPL license is it's expecting you to contribute back any modifications. So yes, you can use the license, but if you make any changes, they're expecting you to contribute that back to the community. Now, you may not see that as being a bad thing. That's maybe just seen as being able to give back, to add back to the community. But you have to understand whether or not that is right for you and your organization. And there are other licenses that have much stronger license conditions. In theory, there's nothing stopping any number of conditions being in a license, which is why I said definitely make sure you review them, and especially ones that are custom. There could potentially be any number of revisions in there, including whether or not you're even allowed to use the software at all in a commercial setting, whether you're able to use it in certain territories or countries, whether or not you have to actually provide copyright notices and attribution to the original author in your software or any derivative works. Now, what happens if there is no license at all? If you're using a software product which has no license. Before we talk about no license, there is a difference between no license and unlicensed. Chooselicense.com actually defines unlicensed as, begin quote, "a license with no conditions whatsoever which dedicates work to the public domain. Unlicensed works, modifications, and any larger works may be distributed under different terms and without source code." End quote. Now, as much as this is termed unlicensed, this is a license. It's just a type of license, and it will expressly say if the software that you're using is under that license. Where there is no license, that's slightly different. That's where there is software, but there is no express definition of which license the work is under. It isn't telling you, it doesn't tell you, it doesn't give you an idea what it is. At which point, I would be quite cautious of that software, because you don't know what rights you have. You also don't know if the author, the individual providing the software, actually had rights to it in the first place. Do they have the copyright to make that software available? Do they have the rights to distribute it? While I do know people will see software with no license being attributed to it as being open season, I personally don't. I see that as potentially dangerous territory and something that needs to be checked before it's used. Potentially reaching out to that author and actually making sure they have the right, firstly, to distribute the software, and then under what license and rights do you have to then potentially use it going forward. In this episode, I wanted to talk about the open source licensing. With open source being so prevalent and the use of open source being pretty much everywhere, licensing is becoming so much more of an important factor in how we govern and run our businesses and our software development. There really can be legal and financial implications of getting this wrong. There can be real business affecting outcomes if we use a license in the wrong way. If we break any one of those licensing conditions or we break copyright, it's like everything else. There are potential legal ramifications on that, which obviously then would lead to financial ramifications. You have to think about whether or not that software is providing enough benefit to accept that license and any risks that may be associated with it. As I've said in the last couple of episodes, open source is exceptionally valuable and it is beneficial to you as an organization. You certainly will be using open source. It'd be almost impossible now to be able to compete in software development, to produce good software systems without using some level of open source somewhere. But you do as an organization need to use and provide some sort of governance around it to make sure that you're doing it in a safe way. There is, of course, like everything, a growing ecosystem around this because it's so important. Software providers like White Source Software provide tools to be able to provide some of that governance checks, to be able to look at some of the software you're using, some of those dependencies you're taking on open source products, and be able to report back on which licenses are in use. Allow you to be able to report on any licenses that are not appropriate to your definition. You may be happy to use anything that is Apache License 2.0, but not happy to use anything that's GPLv3. And as such, those tools can highlight when a software developer may accidentally add that to a software application so that you're alerted. So the software team are alerted and they've got an opportunity to resolve it before it becomes embedded within your systems, where you're maybe 6 months, 12 months, 24 months into a lifespan of a product and it's relying heavily on something that you as an organization cannot be comfortable with because of the license terms. So certainly worth looking at that as a potential way of helping to provide that level of governance. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode. I look forward to speaking to you again next week. This podcast has been hosted by me, Mark Taylor. It has been produced by Red Folder Consultancy Limited, a consultancy that can help you achieve better return on your software development investment. You can contact them or have a say on upcoming podcast topics at red-folder.com/podcasts. Or you can reach out to me on Twitter at redfoldermark. If you're getting value from this series, please tell a friend and help me grow my audience. Thank you.